This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, January 20th, 2017. Coming up this hour.
Today's the day Donald Trump takes the oath of office and becomes the 45th president of the United States.
Markets have surged since Mr. Trump's election victory, but one billionaire investor sees that trend reversing.
IBM and American Express shares trade lower as earnings results at both companies miss estimates.
Mexican drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman is in the U.S., and DEA authorities are celebrating.
He's responsible for more deaths than Al-Qaeda.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Knicks lost a tight one at the Garden to Washington. Rangers won in Toronto, and the Islanders a shutout win in their first game since the coaching change.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by UNC Kenan Flagler's full-time MBA program, UNC Kenan Flagler, Shaping Leaders, Driving Results. Learn more at mba.unc.edu.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, well, S&P E-mini futures are higher, up 3.5 points. Dow E-mini futures are down 11, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 9.5. The DAX in Germany is little change, so is the CAC in Paris and the FTSE 100. The Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 2.50%. Yield on the two-year, 1.23%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.3% or 68 cents to $52.05 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 40 cents to $12.01.10 an ounce. The euro, $1.0646. The yen, 115.08.
It is Inauguration Day in America. Donald Trump set to take the oath of office to become the 45th U.S. president. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee reports from Capitol Hill.
Donald Trump will be the least popular president ever sworn into office. Washington hotels report plenty of rooms available, and there will apparently be seats on the dais available as well. Some 60 House Democrats say they'll boycott the ceremony, protesting Trump's insults of women, the handicapped, and minorities. Thousands of protesters also plan to ring this area as well. Trump has nominated just 28 of the some 500 positions that require Senate confirmation. For the time being, the executive branch will be run by, in essence, political temps. Trump, however, has promised a busy first day of executive orders, which he can do on his own. Wall Street and the world will be watching the White House for news on potential trade wars, immigration restrictions, and regulatory rollbacks as a new, very uncertain era dawns in the U.S. Michael McKee, Bloomberg, Washington.
Thank you, Michael. And you can tune in for live coverage of today's inauguration beginning at 11 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
President-elect Donald Trump has been the talk of the town in Davos as global financial leaders meet for the World Economic Forum this week. Many banking executives have expressed optimism about Mr. Trump's policies and stimulus plans. Now billionaire investor George Soros is weighing in, telling Bloomberg he thinks markets will slump under the Trump administration.
Right now, uncertainty is at a peak. And actually, uncertainty is the enemy of long-term investment. So I don't think the markets are going to do very well. Right now, they're still celebrating. But when reality comes, it will prevail.
In our interview with George Soros in Davos, he also called Trump a, quote, would-be dictator. Earlier this month, the Wall Street Journal reported Soros had lost nearly $1 billion as a result of the rally spurred by Mr. Trump's surprise election victory.
Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen is continuing her call for gradual rate rises this year, saying policymakers have not fallen behind the curve.
With the unemployment rate near its longer-run normal level and likely to move a bit lower this year, a natural question is whether monetary policy has fallen behind the curve. The short answer, I believe, is no.
Speaking to the Stanford Institute for Economic Policy Research last night, less than 24 hours before the inauguration of Donald Trump, Yellen also said uncertainties regarding fiscal policy are clouding the Fed's outlook.
In Asian trading today, there was an air of caution ahead of the inauguration of Mr. Trump. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The Shanghai Composite added 0.7% to 3,123 points by the close. That was its biggest gain in 2 weeks. Stocks also climbing on optimism about a plan to ease index trading restrictions and a report that the reserve ratio requirement could be temporarily cut for large banks. However, stocks in Hong Kong eased for a second session. Japan's TOPIX and Nikkei indexes rose for a third day as insurers surged. Japanese stocks, though, posted a second weekly loss. In Australia, gold players rallied, but the ASX 200 closed down by 0.7%. South Korea's KOSPI index also losing ground. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. Let's get some more detail on that fourth quarter GDP report from China, where the economy accelerated for the first time in 2 years. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
GDP rose 6.8% in the fourth quarter from a year earlier, compared with a Bloomberg survey of 6.7%. Consumer activity and manufacturing are propelling growth, and deflation has been tamed. On the overall projections for 2017, Bloomberg Intelligence estimates GDP will slow to 6.4%. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Brian. Here in the U.S., shares of American Express fell 1.5% in late trading yesterday after announcing fourth quarter profit fell by 8.2%. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
The largest American credit card issuer said expenses exceeded analyst estimates. The firm also set aside more money to cover bad loans. CEO Ken Chenault has said quarterly results will be uneven and expenses will rise as the company spends more to recover from the loss of its largest co-brand card partner, Costco Wholesale Corp. The lender spent the year reassigning senior managers, consolidating marketing activities, and embarking on a billion-dollar cost-cutting project to fill the void left by the retailer. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Shares of IBM also under pressure, down 2.25% in early trading after reporting a decline in fourth quarter sales and narrowing margins. Revenue slipped for the 19th consecutive quarter, coming in at $21.8 billion as revenue growth in cloud computing and artificial intelligence has yet to offset the company's other expenses. And let's bring in Michael Barr now for the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Before President-elect Donald Trump is sworn into office, he'll attend church with his family this morning. Then he'll meet President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama for tea at the White House. The Trumps and the Obamas will travel together in the presidential limousine for the short trip to the Capitol for the noon swearing-in ceremony, Wall Street time. And, of course, Bloomberg Radio and TV will bring you that ceremony starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. Last night, Trump attended a candlelight dinner in Washington's Union Station. Trump says he's proud of how his cabinet picks have been performing in their Senate confirmation hearings.
We have a cabinet, I believe, the likes of which has never been appointed. There's never been a cabinet like this. I will say the other side is going absolutely crazy. They're going crazy.
Meanwhile, protests were held last night in several cities across the nation, including New York City. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio spoke to the crowd outside Trump International Hotel in Manhattan.
Tonight, the last night of a great administration, let's all thank Barack Obama for all he has done for this nation.
Infamous drug kingpin Joaquin El Chapo Guzman spent the night in a New York jail. He'll appear in federal court today to face drug trafficking and other charges. In France, socialist candidates had their last debate before the first round of party primaries this Sunday. Bloomberg's Greg Viscuzzi has more from Paris.
Front runners Manuel Valls, Arnaud Montebourg, and Benoît Hamon had lively exchanges about government spending, protectionism, and how to fight crime. But only about 2 million people are expected to vote, and polls show that whoever wins the socialist nomination will finish a distant fourth or even fifth in next April's presidential election. Gregory Viscuzzi, Bloomberg Daybreak, Paris.
There were no signs of survivors after an avalanche covered a three-story hotel in Italy's central Abruzzo region. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from our Rome bureau.
Heavy snow in the area has severely hindered the rescue efforts. The central Italian region was hit by a series of strong earthquakes on Wednesday and is already gripped by bitterly cold winter weather. Electricity has been knocked out in the affected areas. Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak, Rome.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. 24 hours after a win in Boston, the Knicks came home, had a tight game with Washington, had the ball down three at the end.
Dribble penetration. Now he attacks the basket. He gives to Lee. Lee doesn't shoot the three. Back outside Jennings. He tries to shoot the three, and it's blocked. And that's going to do it. Washington wins on a blocked shot at the buzzer.
Knicks radio as the Wizards won 113-110. Courtney Lee didn't take the three-pointer because he said he was distracted by a Wizards assistant coach that he thought was a player. Carmelo Anthony on that.
I've never seen it before. Especially not in a situation like that. You know, close game, half-court offense. You know, we try to make something happen. I've never seen anything like that.
Carmelo was amazing in the second quarter. He set a Knicks record with 25 points. He finished with 34. Derrick Rose had 20. Kristaps Porzingis back in the lineup scored 15. Knicks' 12th loss in their last 15 games. Rangers won 5-2 at Toronto and a season-high three-game losing streak. Michael Gravener against his old team scored twice in the third period to put it away. He had a shorthanded goal, then one unassisted with 3 minutes left. Islanders 3-0 win at home over Dallas. John Tavares scored twice. Back-to-back shutouts for Thomas Greiss, one each with different coaches. This was the debut of new coach Doug Waite. After the firing of Jack Capuano, the Isles move a game over 500. Local college hoops, Stony Brook unbeaten in the America East, 80-64 over Hartford. FDU over St. Francis, 57-40. And LIU topped Wagner, 76-69. Novak Djokovic may be out, but the top seed, Andy Murray, has reached the fourth round of the Australian Open. So has Venus Williams. She's won three in a row in straight sets. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thank you very much. S&P E-mini futures currently up 4 points. That is 0.2%. Dow E-mini futures are down 8 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by The Breakers Palm Beach, Florida's most iconic beachfront resort paradise. The Breakers Palm Beach just made your favorite winter escape harder to resist. Visit TheBreakers.com or call 1-800-BREAKERS.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by the FRM certification. Protect your firm's investments and clients in today's volatile market with FRM expertise. The FRM is the world's most widely recognized financial risk designation. Learn more at garp.org/FRM. S&P futures are higher while treasuries fall as investors await the start of Donald Trump's presidency. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P E-mini futures up 4 points this morning. Dow E-mini futures down 8. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 10. The DAX in Germany's up 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32nds. Yield 2.50%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.23%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 62 cents to $51.99 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2 to $11.99.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.0640, the yen, 115.20, and General Electric and Procter & Gamble are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. President-elect Donald Trump takes the oath of office today from Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts. And they aren't exactly besties. Trump called Roberts an absolute disaster and disgraceful during the campaign for a pair of votes in defense of the Affordable Care Act. Bloomberg Radio and TV will bring you the inauguration live starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. One of Mexico's most notorious drug lords is cooling his heels in New York after he was extradited from Mexico to the U.S. last night, while Joaquin El Chapo Guzman faces a federal court appearance today. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Wizards 113-110. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Capitals were all winners. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. How are the currency markets functioning on the morning the U.S. gets a new president? We go to the Spectrum Enterprise phone line to get an assessment now. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. On the line with us from London is Vasileios Giannakis, head of global FX strategy for UniCredit. Good morning and welcome. How closely are the currency markets in particular watching as Donald Trump takes office today?
Well, judging by the movements that we've had on the back of Trump's election, I think they're watching very, very closely. What we've seen recently, I think it's been an unwinding of the so-called Trump trade, in the sense that the dollar has sold off. I think it's a combination of factors. Probably initial movement was exaggerated, and secondly, we had the comments this week by Trump regarding the negative impact of the strong dollar. So currency markets are definitely watching very closely. Having said that, there are also a number of other themes playing out right now in the FX market, like commodity currencies, for example.
And of course, priced in dollars in many cases. So where does the dollar head from here? Or are there just too many question marks to really give a firm answer?
I think that, first of all, I think we're living in a period of probably unprecedented political uncertainty. Political policies, consideration of policies in the driver's seat, and it's extremely difficult to make a call, especially when you're in a situation like we are right now. We have Trump and we have Brexit. From a fundamental perspective, I still believe in fundamentals. I think the dollar is overvalued and it's headed for a multi-quarter gradual depreciation. I think it's gone way ahead of real rate differentials, and I think the market has restarted sniffing that. But having said that, as I said, you know, the political risk is just enormous.
Is this a time to especially be on the alert for black swans, if you will?
Absolutely. Well, by definition, the black swans should really surprise the market at any point in time. So from that respect, this time is no different than previous one. But what I think is different right now is that we are living in a period at which uncertainty has reached a level which is quite uncomfortable.
And are you concerned about the growth of populism, not only in the U.S., but around the world?
I think that's certainly a concern. Let me put it this way. On a scale from 0 to 10, I think we're definitely above the 5, if 10 is the extreme populism. We're definitely above 5. I don't think right now we are at the level where probably the market or investors globally think. I think this year may actually prove quite a promising year, especially for the Eurozone. Meaning that it's quite likely we're going to see a curtailment of these populist movements. Having said that, it certainly remains a problem.
We see the euro retreating this morning. Where is the euro headed this year?
Yeah, our forecast is for euro to go to 110 by the end of the year. As I said, fundamentally, we're bearish on the dollar. We see the euro being significantly undervalued at current levels. A large chunk of it has to do with the dollar. Another aspect of it has to do with political uncertainty in the eurozone. I think political uncertainty will ease throughout the course of the year, and I think the dollar aspect will also ease as the market realizes this big fundamental mismatch. Alignment. So we have penciled in a gradual appreciation for the euro. But having said that, as I said at the beginning, political uncertainty is still quite high.
And the flip side of that, the pound.
The pound is a very difficult call. I think I prefer to maintain the downside bias. We had the movement in the pound this week, which part of it was some initial dollar weakness, and part of it was UK specific. But I think, you know, these moves are to be expected when you have large short, extended short positioning. From a fundamental perspective, the message I got was the UK is exiting the single market. The UK is very likely exiting customs union. So it's really difficult, and I think it's very premature to turn bullish on sterling now.
Vassileios Giannakis is head of global FX strategy for UniCredit in London. Thanks very much for your insights this morning. S&P E-mini futures currently up 4 points. That is 0.2%. 10-year treasury prices down 8/32. The yield at 2.50%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio. And a reminder to join us, please, for our inauguration coverage. It starts at 11 a.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio and on Bloomberg Television.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. SEI is bringing you Bloomberg Daybreak. SEI's leading edge operational platform enables asset managers to compete in an environment of social and technological change. Explore SEI's next-gen ideas at seic.com/IMS.
We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President-elect Donald Trump's choice for Treasury Secretary has indicated he might not give Wall Street everything it wants. During his confirmation hearing yesterday, Steve Mnuchin said that he supports the controversial Volcker rule and that there might be merit in bringing back some version of the Glass-Steagall Act.
Lloyd's of London is pushing ahead with plans to open a European headquarters outside of Britain after Prime Minister Theresa May indicated the country won't remain part of the EU's single market. The bank expects to choose a new home base sometime in the first quarter, and approvals could take 12 to 18 months.
A one-time portfolio manager for hedge fund Visium Asset Management has been convicted of federal securities fraud. The jury deliberated about 90 minutes before finding Stéphane Lumière guilty of inflating bond prices to hide losses from investors.
China's central bank says it has provided temporary liquidity support to some major commercial banks. The PBOC says the 28-day operation is meant to ensure liquidity over the Lunar New Year holiday.
General Electric announces fourth quarter results this morning, and Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger has the details.
The consensus among analysts who cover GE is that the conglomerate will post an adjusted profit of 46 cents a share, down from 52 cents in the prior fourth quarter. Revenue is projected to top $33.9 billion. Bloomberg Intelligence says oil and gas was likely the weakest business segment, with a drop-off in orders generating double-digit sales declines. General Electric gets 14 buy ratings, 8 hold ratings, and a single sell rating. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. Apple CEO Tim Cook will meet with Indian officials next week to discuss setting up factories in the country to produce iPhones, but he wants a little help from the government first. According to people familiar with the matter, Cook will ask for a 15-year tax holiday on imported components and equipment.
Futures this morning are higher. S&P E-mini futures up 3.5 points. Dow E-mini futures lower, down 9. And NASDAQ E-mini futures up 9.5. The DAX in Germany is up less than 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.50%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.23%. And NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 60 cents to $51.97 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The inauguration festivities and protests begin. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President-elect Donald Trump says he was elected to the White House because people wanted real change. Trump addressed supporters last night on the eve of his inauguration at the end of a concert on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. He told the crowd that rain or shine, the feeling at his inauguration is going to be beautiful.
If it really pours, that's okay.
because people will realize it's my real hair, and that's okay. It's okay. Might be a mess, but they're going to see that it's my real hair.
Bloomberg Radio and TV will carry the inauguration live starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. Meanwhile, anti-Trump demonstrations were held in several cities across the nation, including New York City. Reverend Al Sharpton was there.
He has not shown even a spirit of trying to understand how most Americans feel.
Celebrities were part of the crowd at the rally outside the Trump Tower in New York City, including movie producer Michael Moore and actors Alec Baldwin, Robert De Niro, and Sally Field. The man who helped launch the Donald Trump for President campaign says today's inauguration is an exciting and humbling experience. Nancy Lyons has more from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Corey Lewandowski tells Bloomberg he's glad he can be here in Washington for the big day that many people thought would never happen.
When you look back 2 years ago in January of 2015, when I joined the Trump campaign to start laying out what our vision was going to be and what the plan was going to be, nobody gave us a chance.
He says they were sort of like a startup that evolved over time.
The crowds just got bigger and bigger and bigger until 63 million people came out on Election Day and supported Donald Trump and made him the next president of the United States.
He says with President Trump, fundamental and wholesale change is coming to Washington. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
U.S. Treasury Secretary nominee Steve Mnuchin says he is willing to label China as a currency manipulator if warranted. Mnuchin spoke during his Senate confirmation hearing yesterday. President-elect Donald Trump has backed away from his pledge to do so immediately. One of the world's most infamous drug traffickers is in an American lockup. Mexican kingpin El Chapo Guzman has been extradited to the U.S. and is being held in New York, where he faces a hearing today. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Mr. Barr, thank you very much. It is now 5:35 on Wall Street, and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Carmelo Anthony says the reason the Knicks couldn't tie the game last night is because Washington had six players on the court at the end. Wizards assistant coach Sidney Lowe did clearly have both feet on the court, as Courtney Lee says he heard him and thought it was a player, and that's why Lee passed up a chance for a game-tying three. Wizards won 113-110. John Wall with 29 points, 13 assists. Otto Porter with 23. He made six threes. Melo led the Knicks with 34, including a club record 25 in the second quarter, but the Knicks find a new way to lose and lose again at home. They went to Christmas having won 10 of 11 at the Garden. Since then, they're 1-6. Rangers ended a three-game losing streak, 5-2 at Toronto. Michael Grabner scored twice. Islanders shut out Dallas 3-0, so back-to-back shutouts for Thomas Greiss. And Doug Waite wins in his first game as Islander coach. The Green Bay Packers trying to reach the Super Bowl in a season where they lost four games in a row and were 4-6. They've now won eight straight, led by Aaron Rodgers.
When you get to this point where you've reeled off a lot in a row, the expectation changes from we're going to be competitive to we're going to win. And that's a very dangerous mindset for a team to get into. So I'm really proud of our guys. It's about that confidence. It's about guys believing in each other. And as you saw this run start to happen, especially after Seattle and then winning the three in a row in the division, the expectation changed as the confidence grew.
Packers in Atlanta Sunday for the NFC Championship game, and a big question will be the health of the Green Bay wideouts. Jordy Nelson hoping to return from broken ribs. Devontae Adams nursing a bad ankle. Someone from the AFC is going to a record ninth Super Bowl ever, either Pittsburgh or New England. Top seeds Andy Murray and Angelique Kerber advance at the Australian Open. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. 5:37 on Wall Street now. Time for your Tri-State Business Report and our Friday check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Ed, good morning.
Morning, Bob. Cushman & Wakefield has held informal meetings with banks about a potential initial public offering. People familiar with the matter say the 100-year-old real estate brokerage giant has discussed a possible listing as soon as the third quarter. It was bought less than 2 years ago by investment management firm TPG and has never been publicly traded. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority will recommend a 25-cent increase in New York City bus and subway fares. The Daily News reports that would mean $3 per MetroCard swipe, but would also include a 16% bonus for every round trip, up from the current 11%. RWJ Barnabas Health and Children's Hospital of Philadelphia plan to build a strategic alliance. The goal is to improve pediatric care in New Jersey and connect patients in need of additional treatment with the Pennsylvania facility, which is internationally recognized. The affiliation would also work to attract and train pediatric specialists. That's the Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thank you. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon, already one of banking's highest-paid CEOs, is getting a raise. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
Dimon's compensation rose by 3.7% as the bank's stock advanced 31%. According to a regulatory filing, Dimon, who is also chairman, received $28 million for 2016. The package includes $21.5 million in performance shares tied to future goals. He also got a $5 million cash bonus and $1.5 million in salary. Under Dimon, J.P. Morgan became the most valuable U.S. lender by market capitalization last year, taking the crown from Wells Fargo. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. And now let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all about all around the world this morning.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about Uber's settlement over claims it exaggerated how much its drivers would make.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WLW in Cincinnati, we're waiting for the earnings from Procter & Gamble, headquartered in Cincinnati.
I'm Joan Doniger, telling listeners at KYW in Philadelphia about a new program at a regional supermarket chain that'll help them shop and eat healthier.
I'm Caroline Hetke on Bloomberg DAB, digital radio in London. We're following the news that Donald Trump has picked the owner of the New York Jets as ambassador to Britain.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. I'm reporting how activist investors are targeting rail giant CSX for an overhaul.
And those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. While all eyes will be fixed on today's presidential inauguration, we'll also hear from two Fed officials at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. Philadelphia Fed President Patrick Harker will give a speech at the New Jersey Bankers Economic Leadership Forum. And San Francisco Fed Chief John Williams will make remarks at the Bay Area Council Economic Institute at 10 a.m. Wall Street time. And our live coverage of the inauguration starts at 11 a.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit MyNYCB.com for details.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And up Karen Moscow, a headline here crossing the Bloomberg. European Union regulators telling Deutsche Börse and London Stock Exchange Group that a deal to create the region's dominant exchange operator risks eliminating rivals for clearing services. And that's according to two people who have seen the statement of objections. S&P E-mini futures are higher this morning. They're up 4 points. Dow E-mini futures down 4. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% or 60 cents at $51.97 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.30 to $11.99.20 an ounce. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President-elect Donald Trump will be administered the oath of office in a few hours. Bloomberg Radio and TV will carry today's inauguration live starting at 11 a.m. Wall Street time. Last night, Trump told supporters after a concert on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial that he will make America great again for everyone. Mexican drug lord Joaquin El Chapo Guzman spent the night in a New York jail after he was extradited from Mexico. Guzman faces a federal court appearance today in New York City. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost to the Wizards. In the NHL, the Islanders, Rangers, and Capitals were all winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Karen?
Thanks, Michael. And the Bloomberg Law Brief is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. And now it is time for the daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law host Jim Grosso discusses why former Beatle Paul McCartney is suing Sony for refusing to give him back the rights to some of his music. She speaks with Terrence Ross, a partner at Cadden, Muchin, Rosenman.
Terry, explain how copyright termination works.
Essentially, there was this notion when we redid the copyright laws in 1976, this popular notion that big companies, recording companies, publishing houses, movie studios were taking advantage of the creators of works, and especially when they were young and they were new in their fields, and that they were obtaining the rights to the copyrights to their works for relatively little money. I don't know if there was ever any actual evidence to support that, but we put into the 1976 Copyright Act two provisions that allowed these creators of works to, at a future date, terminate assignments of the copyrights that they had given away in an effort to remonetize the value of those works. And if they had passed away in the interim, that right to terminate was passed along to their heirs, whether it be spouse or children or grandchildren.
So McCartney's lawyers started sending notices to Sony in 2008 stating his desire to reclaim the copyright. Sony declined to do so. Why would Sony agree to that without a court fight?
Because it is so complicated to comply with the regulations that allow you to terminate. It would be a mistake, in my view, on Sony's part to ever agree that they were done properly, because there is always the risk that McCartney will have botched the termination procedures, and therefore Sony will get to keep the rights.
And that's Terrence Ross, a partner at Cadden, Muchin, Rosenman, speaking with Bloomberg Law host Jim Grasso. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. A little more than 6 hours from now, Donald Trump will take the oath of office and become the 45th president of the United States. For a preview, perspective, and analysis, we're joined now by Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller. Good morning, and thanks for being with us as always. He and his wife, Melania, will have morning tea at the White House with President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama, and then they head to Capitol Hill for that noontime swearing in. When Obama first made that ride 8 years ago, he enjoyed an approval rating double what Trump has today. Trump's approval rating is less than his share of the popular vote on Election Day, which is a historic first for an incoming president. What's the significance of that?
Well, I think it means a lot in terms of how the Republicans who are running the Congress, the House, and the Senate can get their agenda enacted with Trump. I mean, he'll sign a lot of things they want to do, but he's probably not going to sign everything, and he's very, very sensitive to public approval. He says he doesn't believe polls, but he wants to be liked. Everybody wants to be liked. So it's a question of momentum. How much momentum do you have going into the White House? You know, Bill Clinton, when he was elected, he only got 43% of the vote the first time. He didn't have that much momentum, but they still got a fair amount of things to do, not healthcare, but other things. So I think Trump can still get a lot done. The question is, could any president have come into this polarized environment of American politics at this moment in time and not faced sort of historic levels of criticism? I think Hillary Clinton would have had a lot of criticism on the other side had she been elected. There are different things to criticize about Trump than Hillary Clinton, but I think it represents a macro environment of such polarized politics. You wonder, can we get it together as a country and then sort of reunite in order to be governed? And I think that's a question mark.
Well, let's talk about that polarization. He comes into office with a promise to unify the nation. He said just last night, we're going to make America great for everybody. How important is it for him to be conciliatory at this point?
Well, to him, the word conciliatory is probably a bad word, but I think open and flexible and aware of what people are really worried about. Keep his eye on the prize, meaning he promised to sort of make the economy great for everybody. It's the economy's doing very well for a lot of people, but not for others. If he can just focus on the things that will help the people who voted for him and show some improvement in their lives, I think then he can win over some of the other people who think he'll not do a very good job. job. But if he just does the typical, what I would say, conservative big business Republican agenda, which Republicans have every right to do if that's their agenda since they won the election, then he's not going to be able to win anybody else over, and he won't be able to live up to that commitment. So the question is, how does he balance that? Clearly, we're going to have less regulation. Clearly, we're going to roll back a lot of things that the Democrats did under Obama. But do you roll back everything? Do you throw everything out? And I think that's the big balancing act. I'm just not sure he's thought about that. We don't know. And we won't know for, you know, a couple of months at least.
Repealing Obamacare seems to be the big rollback, the top day one priority, if you will. Is it your sense that there is coordination between the White House and Congress?
No, I think that Congress, particularly the Republicans in the House, or have their own plans. They've already passed a few things that are called instructions about reconciliation, which is sort of technical, to insulate them, to get some of the main provisions of Obamacare repealed as they do the budget, as they move forward. I don't think there's any coordination at all. They just want him to sign what they want him to sign, and then talk about the details. It's a huge risk for the Republican Party, because if you do dismantle it and not replace it, you will have 18 to 20 million people who no longer have an opportunity to have health insurance coverage. Even if it's 2 years from now, insurance markets will pull out. This is a big risk, and this could create literally a crisis in health care that I don't know that Donald Trump has thought about very seriously. So it's going to take getting his cabinet nominees confirmed and getting through a Russia investigation, but figuring out a way to sort of roll back the things that the Republicans want to roll back without making Donald Trump the lightning rod for ripping out a lot of programs that millions of Americans use. That's a big balancing act, and he's good at cutting deals. That's what he tells us. So he's going to have to really amp that up as President of the United States, and he'll have to start with his inaugural address today. What will he say? What tone will he set? Will it be dignified? Will it be, you know, Donald Trump-ish, or will it be presidential? Or will Donald Trump redefine what it means to be presidential?
Donald Trump-ish. He came into office promising to unify the nation with that quote last night that I was talking about. At the same time, he said the other side is going absolutely crazy. We're seeing protests in Washington. Have we seen that before?
Yeah. I mean, we've always seen protests. You know, it's in the First Amendment, among other things, the right to assemble, the right to petition the government for redress of grievances. I mean, this is fundamental American politics to have protest. You know, when you lose an election, it's a big deal, and you're really unhappy about it, and you want to fight for the policies you believe in. So we need to protect and maintain that right to protest. It has to be peaceful, but it's not surprising in any way. The question is, does he take it personally? Every president's got to take it personally, but if you take it personally from the start, and you don't see any merit in those complaints, I think that becomes a recipe for dysfunction.
Brown University political science professor Wendy Schiller, interesting as always. Thank you very much for joining us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg Radio.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report, legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here is Joan Doniger.
Energy Secretary nominee Rick Perry believes the Energy Department has a massive role in preventing cyber attacks on the nation's electric grid and says he would work across agencies to address the issue. Treasury Secretary nominee Steven Mnuchin wants to increase staff and modernize technology at the IRS, but Republicans who control the agency's budget may not agree. And Costco Wholesale will pay $11.75 million to settle claims its retail pharmacies were lax with opioid controls, specifically in checking prescriptions and maintaining records.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.